welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents. It's me, Carlos. It's her, Riza. It's him, Oscar. And Tony's working.
Yes. Aww.
I like that you said our pronouns. That was really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Hey, guys, what's up? Can I just, right off the bat, I just wanted to.
I love that you asked the question and immediately answered your own question.
I asked it because I wanted to answer it first.
Okay,
I'll go first.
Fair.
No,
in true
how are you guys doing? How are you guys doing? No. How are you guys doing? Come on, give me the.
I am doing well. Thank you, Carlos. And how are you doing?
Oh, thank you for asking, Oscar. Riza, did you want to say?
I could go after you.
No, go ahead, because it's a big deal.
Oh, boy. I mean, okay, bueno, ándale, entonces, mira. Okay, I'm good, Carlitos, aquí in Miami right now.
Nice.
Recording live from the 305.
Yo, sounds good. That feels good.
It sounds good? Sounds hot? I feel like I sound hotter in Miami when I record.
Maybe, it's the humidity.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this is kind of a big deal because after literally 1 year, 2 months, and 2 days.
But who's counting?
I finally got back on stage and I did stand up at the Comedy Store last night. And it was all very last minute. Jesus Trejo was running a show. You know, we know Jesus.
Yeah, we love Jesus.
He called me up last minute and I was like, I haven't, but I got 24 hours to, like, you know, like literally the last time I performed was in March of last year before the pandemic shut it all down. So it was lovely. I was scared, but I was like, I was so like, someone's like Christmas morning when I was like, I get to go, like, it's all coming, you know, it's all emotional in the sense of like everything's shut down for so long. And now that the opportunity's here and got to perform in the main room, and it was just so beautiful.
Mm. So how many people were there? Like, how was that
reduced capacity? It was sold out, but it was, you know, it's a reduced capacity, but it was still.
Get like reduced.
Reduced capacity is like, I think that like a percentage less, like there was enough people to do a show. It was sold out. But it wasn't like packed to the gills. Like, I've been to the main room at the Comedy Store and it's like a banquet style. Like, everybody's just sitting and it's a bunch of, so it, this is like when people go, but it's not like packed. It's like comfortable. Everybody had their own space. Oh, it was spaced out. It still felt, it didn't feel like empty, but it wasn't like packed, because I've been there when it's packed.
Yeah.
But hell, dude, I'll take anything. I mean, it was just great. It was just like to get on stage again and feel the rustiness. Oh,
I mean, how many times have we done a indie improv show on a Wednesday or Thursday night at 11 o'clock for three people in the audience that were performing? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's like, we'll take that. Hell
yeah. We gotta take those wins out, because anytime now it's, because of reduced capacity, now almost every show is going to be sold out. So it's just kind of fun to say, sold out, sold out, sold out.
It
was so lovely. But this is the, bring it up, because I feel like now this is, to me, like, it symbolizes the beginning of like things kind of opening up again. And obviously, like, I feel more comfortable about it than I was before because I'm fully vaxxed.
Yeah.
And that's actually how they did it. You can only go in if you showed your vax card.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
That's part of the thing.
That's going to be the thing.
Oh,
at least for now. Goodness. At least for now, because I think this is, you know, I think, I don't think things are going to open fully until the summer. I think they say like June or July.
Yeah.
I think this is the trial run of trying to make, to see if the, you know, trying to double check. But it was lovely. I wasn't scared. I felt really, honestly, for like a hot second. I got to perform with Francisco Ramos, you know, Francisco, Fabrizio,
friend of the
Copano, friend of the pod. A couple of Chris Garcia. It was just good to just hang out in the back, you know, just like for one hot second. I was like, "There's no pandemic." It was just it's just beautiful.
What was it like to go back to doing something that you did on a regular basis before the pandemic started? That must have been a mind trip for you.
Yeah, it was a mind trip, because it's like, you know, like, I had the material that I've done. Also, it's like I had to write. I wrote at least 4 minutes of new material in 24 hours to try it out, because I have to address the pandemic. You know, I can't just like pretend.
I was going to ask about that.
But you know, like, as performers and we're doing improv, like, we go out there, we have an idea, and it's very similar to that, in that you don't have, I didn't necessarily have a lot of polished stuff at the top, but I just had information and we have our takes and we just, you know, try it out. And for the most part, it worked, but it still feels rusty because that's the thing about like muscle memory. And I actually talked about it in my material, because I said that because I could have performed. A lot of people, a lot of comedian friends performed during the pandemic. They did either Zoom shows or they did stuff out on the road. And I talked about that because I've said this before and I've said this to you guys. There was no way in this world that I was going to do a show where people were going to honk at me.
Yeah.
Because I get PTSD. I'm like, I can't, I have Carlos triggers by triggered. Getting honked at. It wasn't going to be.
I love it. So funny though. Like, and I've honestly never heard a man say the honking thing other than you. And I very much relate to that though. Like, cause it's like girls are fucking honked at all the time. You think I want to go on stage and be honked at again? No way.
They get honked at for attention, but like, you know, in Puerto Rico, like, you know,
I know that's different. That's what I'm saying.
Get pretty violent. People honk at each other.
I know. That's why I'm saying, like, you have it. You're saying it in a different way than when I remember the first time you said, I was like, what does he mean? But yes. So you did it. Definitely. We're not going to. Yeah. Perform. None of us really wanted to. I feel like it was a pretty general for a while.
But it was lovely. It was lovely to be in that space. It was lovely even when some of the stuff, like, you know, like even in the in between and the transition, some most of the jokes or the material that I've done before worked, but some of the new stuff, it's just being there on stage and just, I don't have to tell you guys, bro. I can't wait for us to get back on stage.
Bro, listen, it's you saying this right now, like, just like gave me goosebumps and like, just thinking about getting on stage and opening like for our first like post-pandemic SAP show just makes me feel some type of way, because I feel like I'm going to cry. Like I like try so hard not to cry. Probably. And like, it's like a comedy show. And like, I think I'm literally going to cry. So if I cry, I'm sorry in advance.
It'll be a cathartic experience, you know?
Yeah. I can't. Wait.
Also, I feel more comfortable, and we can keep talking about it, but I feel like also one of the biggest things that, you know, was taken away from me also was like going to the movie theaters. Yeah. And in the past, I did the thing where I rented out an entire theater. I watched Tenet during the pandemic. I was like, I'll pay all the money. I brought, it was only three people, but I paid for the whole, because I wanted to have that experience. And I literally teared up when I came in and I smelled the popcorn. Tenet? Yeah, it was
nice. Just kidding.
That's the
there was nothing else. There was nothing
there was
else
truly
happening.
Nothing else. You're right.
I would have given them a DVD.
Like August, September. But either way, like I just did it for my birthday. But now recently I went to see a movie for the first time, you know, and it felt good. I'm not scared anymore. And I think it has to do also with the vaccine is a huge deal. I think in the past, you never know. But I feel like that's not obviously a silver bullet. I mean, we still have to be careful, but it like emotionally, I think it's a step in the right direction, and it just feels good, bro. Cause that's, I think like psychologically that those were like performing, going to the movies. Like these are the things that were taken away. That were the things that were my safe haven. Yeah. They were my, you know,
yeah.
So it's nice.
I know. I definitely agree. Like I, this isn't like in performance wise, but like I've been like texting with people and DMing like about like playing like shooting hoops and just like, and I'm like, ooh, this is like, we're going to touch each other. We're going to sweat on each other.
Swap sweat.
But like, we're all vaxxed, right? You know what I mean? So like, I do feel like, fuck, I could do this. Even though like, I know there will be some like anxiety still like layered behind that. Like I might cough
it's gonna be a while.
That night and then like freak out like I'm, you know what I mean, or like 3 days later I'm like, should I get a test, should I get like whatever, you know what I mean, because it's like we are a lot, like I mean it sucks to say this, but we're all gonna have a lot of PTSD from like
absolutely
this pandemic, as much as like a lot of people seem to like wanna, you know, be like, oh no, it's fine, I'm like, because I do know people like that, not that they like didn't believe it, but they're like, bro, it's fine. Like, whatever. Like a couple of years from now, we're not going to remember this. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I feel like there's so many things that are going to trigger me, like from like after whatever feels open normal to like when I'm a vieja sitting, you know, telling my fucking grandkids about, you know, the year 2021 when I was in the middle of a pandemic podcasting, like what the fuck, you know, like this.
I just think that in general, anytime, I think moving forward, anytime we're as a people, anytime we're in a place where it's going to be packed, it's just going to be like subway, any close quarter situation. I don't think that fear is going to go away. I think we're still going to be like too many people. Like, I think that's just not, that's part of the process of
Yeah. It's a little crazy to think about the world opening up again and what that means for the future, because to say that everything is going back to quote unquote normal, I don't think is necessarily the case, because we have been traumatized by this pandemic, that the easing into it, you know, here's what I'll say, personally speaking, like, it's interesting to hear people get really excited about like going out and stuff, where I sort of feel the opposite in a bizarre little way, because the amount of the amount of anxiety I feel about like reintegrating myself into society is, you know, extreme. And as an introvert who's already like, I don't really like crowded spaces, or like I'm not built that way, you know. The even thought of like going to an event in person and like seeing a lot of people gives me such, I break out in hives, because it's it's so, but
this was happening before the pandemic.
This is happening before the pandemic, and then dealing with the pandemic. You're sort of used to like, I guess this is my life now. It's like I'll literally talk to a piece of machinery, aka my computer, for the whole year, and that's how I socially interact with people. And then to all of a sudden be like, no, we're going to see each other again, and we're going to have parties again. Like, even now, I'm getting a bombardment of emails of people being like, come to my birthday party, come to this, come to... And I am panicking, really, truly, if I'm being quite real, I am absolutely panicking of the social obligations that I have to. And it's not that I have to do them, because actually everyone has been very, 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 very nice about asking, is this okay? You don't have to do this if you don't want to, all that stuff. But I still can't help but feel like, oh my gosh, these are now, are the social obligations have been brought back again. And that's...
Oh man, you were thriving. You were like, finally, I don't have to deal with it.
I mean, you know, I wasn't necessarily thriving, because it's like, I don't know how to talk to people anymore, and I'm going to have to relearn how to interact with people face to face. But it's scary. I'm scared. I'll say it. I'm terrified of opening that door, because I have been in my house for a full year. I haven't seen anybody. I'm so scared to open that door and be like, okay, world, hi. It feels nuts. It feels nuts to me.
Now, looking back, do you think it would have been easier or harder if in March 17th, 2020, they said, hey guys, this is going to take a year? Like, if we would have known that it was going to take a year...
I don't think we would be able to compute, actually.
Yeah.
Like, what a bizarre thing to tell a human being to wait, especially an American. To wait.
Yeah, we got no patience. Year? What? Are you fucking kidding me? I can't have this one.
This is why at airports they go, it's been delayed. Yeah, they say it's been delayed for an hour, and then 3 hours, and then 4 hours, and pretty soon. Like, I feel like that's a human nature thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, could you imagine, though? Like, I don't think we would be able to compute. Wait for a year. Some people couldn't do that when they said wait 2 months.
I keep talking about this, where I'm just like, I still can't believe where we're at. Like, again, I feel like I'm like that person, like, I just don't believe it. Like, I'm always like, I'm like that like person all the time, because I'm like, bro, es que no, like, no lo puedo entender that, like, you know, a year ago, I really was like, I mean, I was so depressed and sad, like thinking like, oh my God, like this is going to go on for two, maybe three, whatever, which I know it actually is, but in a different way. In my eyes, I was not thinking we would have a vaccine at all at this point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the way it was very bleak.
Yeah. It was looking dark as fuck, literally, at this time.
Bro, the last quarter of like, cause I'm going to say, I feel like, when the year started, I mean, everybody was cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
But like leading up to it, leading with the pandemic and the elections and the, it was just that was like ramping up to like, I don't think, I don't know. It's quite the emotional traumatic journey for an entire species of people.
Yeah. It's important to note that it's not just the pandemic that has happened this past year.
Exactly,
I mean, a social uprising has occurred, you know, and we're still not out of it yet, you know?
No.
And it's like an uprising has happened, and then another catalyst has occurred. And then you're just sort of like, okay, you know, I'll also say this much, you know, when things are opening back up, interestingly enough, shootings happened.
Yeah.
Shootings have increased. So it really, I mean, what are we doing? You know,
I mean, nobody knows. let's just be real.
we were bleak during the pandemic, but there's also, you know,
there's
a little bit of fear too of just like, what is it going to look like when, like, you know, when it's the green light, you know, how are we going to behave? How are we going
to act? But like, who even knows what the green light is too? Because I feel like everywhere is going to have their own fucking green light. You know what I mean? Like, even like US in comparison to like the rest of the world. I mean, India is fucking suffering right now. Like, like there's so many places, like, you know, I mean, we have stuff going on in Colombia, like other places, Puerto Rico, like there's so much going on, not only even just here. And it's like, not to make it a Debbie Downer, like freaking whole pica, pero coño, like we're
it's a lot.
Yeah, but like we're exactly like I'm here, like, you know, like you're talking about the parties and I'm one of those people that texted you guys like last week and I was like, hey, like, you know, like I always have like a pool party usually, like if I can, I'm trying to do it again. It's gonna be it's literally half the people that I usually have. Like this is, you know, I'm checking in if you're like the same thing, like very like I wanna make sure everybody feels comfortable. And yet then like, you know, 10 minutes later, like I'm like, why am I going to have a fucking part? Like, I keep going back and forth. I'm like, the world is still crumbling. Like, yeah. But then
but we can't stop living at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but like, it's, I also just feel like this year has also in a half and still ongoing has even made me even more like, because I've had more time. It's not because before I didn't want to be involved in politics or didn't want to go support, you know, people or be, you know, talking about it so much. It's that I just had less and less time before because I was working, I was driving, I'm doing all these other things. And now I like feel like I know so much that I'm like, that's another thing. Like, I feel like I'm going to be like out of the fucking loop when I'm actually like out of my house, which I don't know if that's a feeling that you guys have or have thought of, but I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Raisa. I have a fear. I think like this past year has been like, obviously a nightmare, but it has given us the luxury, very much to attach to what you were saying, Raisa, is like before the pandemic, we just didn't have the time to sort of think about ourselves and look within. We thought we did, but then shown that that was not the case.
Exactly.
So I am hoping that we have taken this time where the world, quote unquote, stopped to look within and to do a lot of self-healing. Yeah. And I have a fear that once everything goes back to, and I use that in heavy quotations, back to normal, that we have forgotten about the work that we have done.
That'll go away.
Like, I just have that fear. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's unprecedented, obviously, and maybe it might be irrational, but I think people are like frothing at the mouth to like go back at it again. But it's like, we have to remember all the work that we did to heal ourselves, to look within, to be active politically, you know, to think about our community.
To be body positive even more. That's been a big thing as well in this pandemic too. Right. That I feel like, I mean, I know it's not as, it doesn't like feel like at the level of like certain politics stuff, but you know, like those are like little things too, that I feel like I've been seeing a lot of people. And of course, yes, we are coming into summer. So I do feel like more people are also like talking about that type of stuff and like all that self-care, like you're saying, like the mental and physical of it. Like it's just like so much pressure for everything all of a sudden. Just
yeah, but they are talking about that. This is not the first time I hear. You're right. They're talking about like almost like a lift on the pressures of having a summer body. Like everybody's going through it, and everybody, it's like, this is fine. This is a pandemic.
Yeah,
we're all dealing with that.
Listen, so it's not about the hot body. You know, it's not the hot summer body anymore. It's the summer body. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just like, what am I looking like? And whatever I look like, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think just all around, like, if I have anything to say to anybody who's like out and rearing to go, just think about like, just be kind to people and respect people's transition time into integrating themselves into the world. Because just because you feel like, okay, I'm back to normal 100%, that doesn't mean that everyone else is at the same level as you. Like, just think about other people's like growth and also integrating, and also, you know, keep in mind of like, if people are having like pre-existing health conditions or autoimmune conditions that prevent them from like, you know, easing into the world now, you know, like just be conscious and be kind to those around you.
It's so funny, not funny, but like, I love that you said that because that is so fucking important. I really think that like I've had, you know, similar conversations with other people, like talking about that. Like, you're right. Like, fucking yes. Just like, definitely what, like from the beginning, like remember your, like what we've been through and, you know, like continue that kindness and, you know, keep that within you. Like, even like you said, like 2 years from now, like we are still going to think about this shit. And like, I know like there's going to be moments I'm going to be like, oh, fuck this. No. Wait a minute. I can't fuck this. Like, no. Hold on. Whatever that is, you know, like, pero también like, I also like, you're right. Like with the whole, like, people are going to be in different places because so I was in San Diego last weekend for like a little staycation with my boyfriend and we went to the beach and I was wearing this, like these like pink visor, like head thing that you guys you've seen that like Bad Bunny kind of had also, yeah. Whatever, but like, it's really good for my face. It blocks like my whole face. And I can't get sun on it anymore really. And so point is that this like white guy, like with this like American flag bathing suit, this like older man, yes, is walking. He passes me and my boyfriend where we're like sitting by the beach. And then he like walks back like hella aggressively with his phone and he puts like his phone in my face and he like starts taking pictures, aww, of me. And like, here's the thing, like I ain't nobody famous. It was not like that vibe. It was like, it just felt like, oh, now everybody's out in these streets. And like, he felt comfortable enough to come up, and I didn't have my mask on because we were more than 6 feet away. You know what I mean? So it was me and Alejandro. We were just there sitting, whatever. And like, this guy just, and I did act very fucking cool considering.
But what was he doing? To shame you?
No, he started taking these pictures and he was like, just like, I don't know if he thought it was funny and he was like trying to be funny with his wife. He's like, oh, I need to get pictures of this. Oh, I got to show them to my daughter. She's going to have a hoot. But like, he didn't ask me to take the picture until like he started taking pictures. And then like, he's like, oh, I can take, like, and it's like, again, it's like, I'm very like, whatever for certain things. It just depends, honestly, what mood you catch me in. If you catch me in una mala, bro, I would have le había mandado para la pinga him. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, also I was just kind of like, I had been drinking a little bit. So I was like chilling. Okay.
I thought you were going to say that he was going to try to shame you for wearing like a visor.
No. It wasn't like that. No, but it was, but also
it was positive.
But yeah, it was positive. But again,
not consensual.
Not, that's the thing. Like, you don't go up to someone and take pictures. Mm-hmm. And as you're taking pictures, ask to take pictures of them.
Yeah.
Because again, like, I'm not saying it's even the pictures and whatever. Number one, sir, I charge if you're gonna take a picture.
Here's my OnlyFans.
I did give him, like, I did say that as a joke and he loved it. He thought it was the funniest thing ever. So I was like, okay, like, whatever. But then point is that, like, I do think like we need to like also respect, like, what about if I was someone that was freaking out because this is my first time out at all.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
And that's forgetting where people. It's traumatic.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where not that I had to, you know, give this whole story, but like, you saying that, Oscar, just literally reminded me of that because I said that. Then when the guy walked away, I'm like laughing, like everybody in that beach was looking at us, which is fine, whatever. I don't care about it. My poor boyfriend is like, why don't look at us? But he's like the opposite. But I was just like, I like sat there for like 5 minutes and I looked at him and I was like, that was kind of crazy if you think about it. Like, he just pulled up something to like, and like, I like went over the whole thing with him and he was, yeah, like, I mean, you are right. Like, you're not wrong. Like, yeah, I wasn't malintentioned at all, but like,
sure.
Damn. And like, I'm now like thinking about this and just being like, okay, I'm in Miami right now. Like, I'm so anxious. Like, to like, I like need a respect. I saw my dentist today and I was like, oh, do I touch, hug? I don't know. You know, like, I'm like asking so many questions and I think that that's okay. And I think people are going to, yeah, be made fun of for this in different places and different situations. And I just want to, I know I've been blabbing and rambling, but I just want to say, like, you know, for everybody listening, like, you know, I feel you on this. Oscar, Carlos also feel you on this. And like, you know, I feel like whatever makes you comfortable, like, I think we should all be vocal and respectful. As long as you're respectful, that's it. And kind, for sure.
Amen.
Amen. And mira, look, I know that we got to go into a little breaky break, but I wanted to tell you guys, I already had two cortadito breaks in Miami.
Okay. Anda, pacara.
Pues, tú sabes,
estoy... It's a lot.
Tengo
wired.
Estoy pero wired. Tú sabes, Cuban crack aquí.
we'll get you a decaf then. A decaf.
Okay, okay, I'll get a little decaf. Yeah, give me like the white people decaf scene. Just black. No sugar, no cream. Just give it to me black decaf. Like in Gilmore Girls.
Okay. Let's get it.
Dale.
And slurp, 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 mi gente, we are back from our cafecito break. And oh my God, we have an icon with us today. You know her from, she was a runner-up in season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race, winner of season 2 All-Stars, drag performer, recording artist, extraterrestrial. We have one thing to say to you, Alaska Thunderfuck.
Hi!
Hi!
Hi! How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. First of all, let's work from most recent. You have a comedy special that's out right now that was filmed pre-pandemic, right?
Oh, yes. 87 years ago.
87 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. You look fantastic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. yeah, it's really cool. I'm proud of it. I like it.
It's super fun. We got to see it. Thank you so much for the screener.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. You had, so I guess I'll pitch your own show for you. You do a fantastic comedy. It's a live recording of a fantastic comedy show with a live audience. And then you sort of like break it down in the special with where you're talking to guests over Zoom, commenting on it. And it's brilliant. You have Margaret Cho, Cherry Vine, Jackie Beat, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I've never seen a special quite like that.
No, normally if you do a comedy special, you stand there and you tell hilarious jokes for an hour, but I'm a drag queen and I can't do anything normal. And I can't do anything easy. We never do nothing nice and easy. We had to literally, I was like, okay, I'm not really a comedian, so I can't stand there and tell jokes for an hour. So I need musical numbers. I need a talent contest. I need, and then after the fact, I was like, I don't know. Okay, we need Zoom calls with my comedy mentors. So we do it all.
That's interesting. You say you don't think of yourself as a comedian, but you absolutely have honed this comedic persona. I mean, self-described extraterrestrial, right?
Yeah.
Alaska was not from Earth.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like comedian is like a title that comedians are out there like doing stand-up. They go out there and they stand there and they tell jokes. And that's like, I have so much respect for that vocation because it's really hard to do, to go out there and play to an audience, play these comedy clubs. Like, I am a drag queen who is funny sometimes. And so I have so much respect for comedians, but yeah.
I mean, I also will say, like, you, just because the pandemic happened, didn't mean that you stopped hustling your ass, because I recently saw you at your daytime drag drive-in show in LA, and it was so funny. It was so incredible. You were so funny. But thanks. The thing about you, Alaska, is that you know how to curate a fucking show.
Yes.
Oh,
you know how to put a fucking show together. You got Jackie B, you got Laganja Estranja, you got Candy Muse cutout for the show.
Oh my God, what?
I mean, what a get. How did you get Candy Muse's cut out for the show? I don't know.
I tell you, I mean, booking that cardboard cutout of Candy Muse was really expensive, too. I mean, she's hot. She's an icon. She's an icon.
Truly.
Yeah.
But you have this awesome eye of... The thing I love about you, Alaska, is that you're able to exist inside of Drag Race, but also outside of Drag Race, looking into Drag Race. Like... How did you develop your mind? I mean, and this is not just something recent. This is from the very jump. I also remember when Valentina got eliminated in season 9. How quickly did you do that parody video that you did about Valentina?
Oh my God.
I cannot believe how fast you got on that. Where do you get your ideas from? Like, how does your brain work, Alaska?
I don't know how it works, and oftentimes it doesn't work at all.
Fair for me,
right?
Too.
You hear
I get that.
You hear that. I mean, I guess I just do stuff that I like and that is interesting to me. And I gravitate towards stuff like naturally and organically. And that's what I do. So like the Valentina thing, it was like I was really captivated by her as are so many people on Earth, because she's mm-hmm. a very captivating person. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to her at the time and I tried to get her on the track. And it just didn't work out. She was really busy. I don't know. She ghosted me. She ghosted
me. Oh no. But that is the tea.
Wow. I wear being ghosted by Valentina as a badge of honor.
Well, okay.
She was all busy right. doing her own sort of like video. Cause I saw that video that she released the day after she was eliminated. And I was like, this production value. She's been working on this for a minute.
She's everything.
Okay, I have a question. So I will be very honest. Love drag queens like so much, but I have never really watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm like, I get in trouble all the time with the boys.
Wow.
Because they do drag, and but like I do the sports stuff, so I guess like that's what happens. I don't know. I guess I watch basketball instead. Pero, wow. I love it. I know. I've seen more live performances. I've gone to a lot of like shows and stuff like that, and I love to support, obviously. And Oscar, actually, he hosts the only UCB Drag Race show there, and it's like it always sells out so quick, so I have to text him like
I
the
do
night of,
yeah. Yeah, I host a show called Bad Drag Race, which is
yes
it's Drag Race but for people who've never done drag before. And actually Tony has competed and thrived on that show.
I'm Miss Congeniality right. 3 years running.
It's so ridiculous, so funny.
Your fan but, favorite.
Fan yeah. favorite, yes. fan favorite.
Yeah. First come correct, home, come fan up. Favorite.
Yes.
Fan favorite.
So what I was going to say is I was, you know, I like had heard of you and I knew of you, like, you know, from other people like posting. And I know Nicole and I heard you on her podcast as well.
Yeah.
So I went to like your website and I want you to know that like your bio had me dead laughing.
Oh, word.
Because I was like, wait a minute, I need everybody that listens to this to go to alaskathunderfuck.com and read the bio because it is the funniest thing ever. And I was just like, wait, like, I don't, what am I gonna, it's, I'm not even gonna explain it because they just need to listen to read it. So my question to you is, how did you start, you know, doing everything in drag? Like, where did it come from? You know, what was the inspiration to be like, fuck it, I'm gonna do this? Because it's a lot of work. I know, right. like I said, like, I know a lot of people that do it. And I mean, I take sometimes a little bit long to get ready, but like, I know it's a process. Like, it's work.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I mean, again, it just is something I gravitated toward. Like, even when I was a little kid, you couldn't keep me away from my grandma's clothes. Like, I just like, I like clothes that are designated as being women's clothes. They're better. Like, they're prettier and they move better and they are colors and textures and, you know, sparkles. And so, like, I've always gravitated that way. And then I was in theater and I studied theater in college. And then from there, it was like, theater was, I needed more. Like, theater's like, you, when the curtain goes down, you take off your costume, you leave it at the theater, and you go about your life. Drag is like, no, the curtain goes down, then you go out into the club in your costume.
Oh, that's,
you get a drink.
Yes, yes.
You go to your car with your bags, you're still in drag. Mm-hmm. You take the bus. In,
yes.
So it's like, so I don't know. I mean, I love drag so much, and it's the only job I've had that I lasted for over a year. So.
Was Alaska the first iteration? Did you have any names before Alaska Thunderfuck 5000?
No, I got really lucky, and I thank marijuana for that, because I'm named after a strain of marijuana. It was called Alaskan Thunderfuck, and I just heard that name, and I was just like, I was blown away and obsessed. And I'm lucky my name is easy to say and easy to spell, so I haven't had to change it.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was perfect. Why change perfection? Yeah. There's no reason.
Exactly.
What about acting? Do you want to like act and like audition and stuff? Are you doing that right now? Because I also think, like, you know, we are all actors and comedians here on the podcast, and things are opening up for so many different, like, and they want more legit people. Like, I love that they're like not trying to dress straight cis men anymore. And it's like, let's actually get, at least they're trying. I will say it's not legit. Oh yeah. But I always wonder, like, cause I know a lot of the RuPaul queens have, like, they've gone on to audition and be on TV and stuff.
Yes. And again, I have so much respect for actors because acting is fucking hard, okay? It maybe it seems like it's really glamorous and really lovely, but it's fucking hard. You have to, and I've acted on stuff, and it's very difficult because you have to, like, be really intense and completely mean it and act really well, but also, like, turn your head 2 inches to the left, because otherwise we lose you on the camera. And then we're going to switch cameras around and you're going to do the exact same thing 18 times. Okay, ready, go. Then go sit in your trailer for 6 hours and then come back and work again for 20 minutes. It is the hardest.
I mean, there's weirdest, no lie there.
Yeah.
It's so hard and so unnatural for me, but, like, I've done it. I feel like I've gotten better at it. Like, I just shot this movie and I got to play, shocker, a drag queen.
Okay.
But I feel like I learned a lot on the set, like, yeah, about how to act.
And did you do your own makeup for that? Because that's another thing that is interesting to me too, because I know, like, a lot of, I've seen, like, a lot of other drag performers have been like, yeah, well, I had to do my own makeup. Or, you know, they did it and it was trash. I just feel like it's something so different. Like, you, well, because you know your face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're doing it so much. Whereas, like, me, I suck at makeup. I like, barely can put on concealer and foundation. And I don't even know what my colors are. I'm a mess. Like, I don't know. So I just find it so, like, beautiful and amazing when I see someone. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, your makeup is so much better. Like, this, I don't even know. It's, like, art to me.
Yeah, drag makeup is, like, it's not beauty makeup. It's like special effects. It's like,
okay.
And knowing your way around your own face and how you like to look in drag is something that takes years to develop. So often it makes sense to just be like, okay, yeah, if I'm going to be in drag, like, I'm going to do my own makeup. That makes sense to me. So yeah, it's weird. It's a weird sort of in between art form that, you know, Hollywood is kind of learning about as we go. And the treatment has gotten way better, even in the last few years than it used to be.
I love to hear that. And it's like straight from, you know, the person, you know what I mean? Because it's easy to, like, see you guys on TV, but, like, I'm sure there's a lot of other people that do drag and they audition and they're not even close to famous. And you know, I know, like, I know some of them and they're like, yo, I had to fucking, it was I woke up at 5 a.m. because it was a live audition on Zoom in the middle of the pandemic. And they had to be ready for, like, a 10 o'clock, whatever. And you know, like, I just think that's so much more work, like, pay you more, like, I don't know, pay you for the audition.
Thank you. I agree. Like, honestly, I agree. Pay us
I'm
more.
Serious.
Listen, drag queens truly do it
so much
all.
Work.
I mean, do it all. Everything. And for you, Alaska, I mean, you truly do it all. Not only did you go through the ranks of Drag Race, which I think is its own machine, because it really does. I mean, to thrive on that show, you have to really be great at absolutely everything.
Don't you have to make your costumes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or no?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so exhausting. I can't even.
Aside from the persona, you also have a thriving recording artist. Like, you sing, Alaska. You got albums out, Alaska, and they do pretty well. So how did you fall into that? Like, were you always attracted to, like, singing live? Because I know that you, oh girl, this is a flashback, but I remember one of the seasons, I want to say 3 of Drag Race, we saw videos from girls who didn't quite make it, and you were singing a song in your audition tape. Yeah. And I was like, okay, she sings.
Yes.
She sings and she plays the ukulele. Not only does she does makeup, she truly does it all. So how did you find your musical prowess on your drag journey?
Well, I mean, that's a deep cut. The casting special from season 3. Wow. Yes, my name's Alaska. And that's just like the state.
Yes!
'Cause everyone thinks Sarah Palin when they hear my name. Yeah, no, I've always that's part of what I like about drag is that you get to do everything. Like, and RuPaul is very much an inspiration in this sense. Jackie Beat as well. Mm. It's like you can do music and you can do comedy and you can put your face on a t-shirt and you can sell products. Like I sold a pound cake doll and I still have some available there on alaskathunderfuck.com. But no, that's the great thing about drag is like you can sort of do everything. And I like getting to do a little bit of everything.
Speaking of pound cake and doing everything, when can we look forward to like the animated series? Or does that already
exist? We've talked about it so many times. Like, we've talked with different animators, and like, it hasn't come to pass yet, but it's definitely like, I have ideas for it.
Okay. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
That is brilliant. Oh, duh. Yeah. Yes. Duh, do a pound cake animated show. Hello. What?
Okay. Oh, I want to get a little spicy up in this interview now. Again, for someone who has not really watched a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race, I know that there's always drama because what else would a reality show with a bunch of freaking hot drag queens like have to give me also? So I was wondering if you had like any besties that you still kept in touch with that, you know, after, you know, Drag Race, like maybe your faves or, and also like if you have any hot tea you can drop.
Oh, we doing this today? Okay.
Hot scalding tea.
Yeah.
Inside it.
I want it. Yes. I need it. I need it. It's so boring over here. Give me something hot, Alaska.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, I love all my sisters from Drag Race. Cue Pheromone, you don't love me.
No,
no, I do. I especially love Pheromone. I really do. She's lovely. I mean, I work with Willem every week.
And we do Chaser.
Yeah, Race Chaser. We do a podcast together. So we get to watch Drag Race and then talk about it, which is what drag queens do in our natural habitat anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm friends with all my, you know, Rolaska Talks, girl. We're still, girl.
That's still a unit?
The Read You Wrote You Girls. We're still, I mean, we're all good Judies. And I mean, I love all the Rue Girls a lot. Like, I still get starstruck by Manila and Raja. I just do. Stunning. I just do. But we're friends, too.
Alaska, you also host a beauty pageant, right?
Well, it's not a beauty pageant, but it is a pageant.
I should say a pageant, just a pageant. Now, talk to us about this talk about this pageant. What does it entail? Can anybody join the pageant?
All are welcome to apply. That's really our motto. Like, when we first started out, we were like, what if we just opened it to everybody? Because drag gets to different people at different times in their lives. And we wanted it to be, and everyone has a different perspective coming to drag. So we wanted to see what it would be like if it was sort of all access. And so we did it. And it was really, really fierce. Like we had assigned female at birth performers competing next to, you know, Abora from Dragula. We had trans contestants. This past year, we had a drag king who won. So a drag king won drag queen of the year. The whole point.
Mira.
It's very, that's very the point though, because it is like drag is for everybody. And there's no one type of drag. There's like an infinite types of drag. And anything is possible.
Ooh, yes. Now, if you had to give a word of advice to anybody who's trying to get into drag for the first time, because drag can be a little intimidating, do you have any words of wisdom that you can give people?
I always give Lady Bunny's advice, which is retire. In seriousness, it's the opposite. I think everybody should try drag, even like at least once in your life. It's very liberating. You also see how painful and horrible it is. But I guess my advice is, you know, figuring out, because there's so many resources, there's YouTube tutorials about how to do hair and makeup and where to get the clothes and everything. So the key now is like figuring out what makes you you in drag and what you like and what makes you different. So that's,
I like that. Are there any basketball drag queens or no? Like that, like can shoot like threes and stuff. Anybody? No?
Maybe that could be your act, Ryza. You could just show up.
Yeah.
Not even lip sync. Just shoot 3-pointers.
That's it. With my bad makeup like that I can't even do.
Shoot
like,
3-pointers for your life.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Listen, but that's drag though. The thing that we're like evolving into, thanks to drag queens like you, Alaska, is that the definition of drag is incredibly loose. It's an art style that sort of pushes you to experiment on the limits of your persona. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's super important and something to consider because it is not just, I think gone are the days of like this like female illusion, female impersonation thing, which are still valid spaces for drag, obviously. And yes, like that's still very valid, but we're broadening the scope. I mean, the fact that a drag king won drag queen of the year in your pageant is like incredibly telling in the direction of drag. And that's so exciting. And I think queens like you definitely paved the way to broadening that scope.
Thank you.
So honestly, I just have to say thank you for like challenging drag and like,
thank you,
having fun and treating it like the joke that it is, you know, in a weird way of like that. I think that's so political and really fucking cool to be like, look at the crazy shit I'm doing. And it's drag and it's loved and it's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's really inspiring to see what, you know, what artists are capable of and what they do when there are no boundaries and there are no limitations. Like it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So I have another hot tea question. I just, listen, we're going to have to end it still spicy. So I heard you on Nicole Byers' Why Won't You Date Me episode. Mm-hmm. Such a great episode. Love her. Loved you on it. I thought it was really cool and interesting how you guys talk about that you also dated a drag queen as well. And apparently, like, it wasn't like, so, like, I didn't know that it was not like a thing or whatever. Like, and so I guess what I'm wondering is, are you single? Are you out there in these streets? Like, what's Alaska's dating status? Because I want to know, because I listened to the episode. So now I need to know all the tea.
No, I'm not. I don't consider myself single.
Okay.
And I enjoy the fruits of monogamy that are, and all those things have to offer. That's where I'm at.
Amazing. Hey, listen, case closed. We solved it.
Okay, well, I guess I can't date Alaska. Wow, it was really,
I'm sorry. Oh, you were asking me on a date. Oh my God.
I'm so sorry. I ask for someone on a date. Wow.
My boyfriend listening is like, excuse me?
He's like, what?
Oh my God. Well, I just wanted to make sure that we got anything that you have coming out to plug. Is there anything that we should be looking out for? And if you could let everybody know your social so that they can follow you.
You can follow me on Instagram at TheOnlyAlaska5000. And you can also go to AlaskaThunderfuck.com for all of your Alaska needs.
Where can people find the special that's out right now?
Oh, yeah.
It's on Out TV USA, but there's also a link to that in my Instagram.
Okay.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Yay. Gracias.
Awesome. Gracias. And you guys can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG and Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you can follow me on at Raisa Licea on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow Carlos at, of course, it's Carlos on IG. And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and Twitter.
You can find me at aspirationallynotsingle.com. Just kidding. I'm at Barbara Fella, which is my drag persona and the real me. It's more real than the Tony Rodrigue.
Amazing.
And check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you're listening. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show. Alaska, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Gracias.
Oh, de nada.
She's bilingual.
Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production, executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a 1-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.